Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
On that Fireball VIP line, James, what's good, brother?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Always good checking in with you, man. And before we get into Timeline 25 and talking about Tebow time, we all remember it well. I just want to know your thoughts on the Cam Newton thing. Because of COVID, I have changed my mind. And this is a little lengthy, James, but ride with me here, brother. Bruce Arians is going to have a COVID quarterback. And it's probably Ryan Griffin, but he's going to have a guy that's like away from the facility that he can just call in if COVID hits that position.
Yep.
You might play an abbreviated season. The Broncos had better get off to a hot start because you might play an abbreviated season and then just start the postseason in February, whatever. You have to be ready for all options.
Yep.
And because of that, you know, I'm a guy, a don't confuse the room guy when Nick and I have argued about this, you know, add Cam Newton behind Drew Lock, whatever. But when I think of COVID and how that might hit one of your rooms, and if it's your quarterback room, you're just done. You're just done. And having a guy like Cam Newton that you could go to, if you're truly in a playoff window, which everyone thinks this team is, like, I don't know, the Patriots got him for nothing. They got him for a song. Where do you come down on the Broncos, you know, not even kicking the tires on a guy like Cam Newton?
No, I understand where you're coming from. And obviously this year, a totally different situation than any other season, so you got to try and prepare for it as best you can. But I think they have the perfect quarterback situation. I think 2020 is all about finding out whether or not Drew Lock is the answer. And even if the answer is no, it's kind of like when you're in sales, right? The worst case scenario is you got, oh, this guy's pending and this client is pending, and they could be a yes, they could be a no. If they're on there for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, then you better have to just find out they're a no and move on to someone else. That's where the Broncos are with Drew Lock. So I think it's going to be a yes. I think the kid can play, but they need to find out one way or the other. My fear with Vic Fangio, a guy who waited a long time to get this job, knows that, hey, if this doesn't work out, he's probably not getting another head coaching gig.
Right.
That if they were sitting there at 3-5 and Drew Lock had a couple of bad games in a row where he threw three picks in each game, boy, he'd be tempted to go to Cam Newton or Case Keenum or any other veteran. And to me, it's sort of like, what's the point, right? You're 3-5. You're going to try and, you know, scrap it together and get to 8-8, 9-7, have a winning season, maybe get that 7 seed. You ain't going anywhere, right? Like, it's all about trying to build a team that eventually, whether that's 2021, 22, 23, whenever it turns out to be, is an actual contender and a Super Bowl contender, not a team that's trying to squeak into the playoffs. That's what they do in other markets. That's not what we're shooting for here in Denver. So I just like the idea of don't give Vic Fangio an option. I think that's very wise on John Elway's part that they don't have someone there who's a veteran who, oh, boy, he played with Pat Shurmur in Minnesota and, boy, he had a good year. Maybe we should go with him. Like, don't even give him that option. He's not going to be tempted with Jeff Driscoll, so he's going to be content to stick with Drew Lock. I think that's the perfect scenario this year because, again, yeah, I think they're going to have a winning season. I got them at 10-6. I think they're going to make the playoffs. But that's all secondary. The primary goal is to find out once and for all if Drew Lock's the guy. If he is, awesome. You're set for the next decade, perhaps. If he's not, well, it's a bummer, but better to move on and try and start finding that guy in 2021 instead of continually dragging this on, along and just getting nowhere.
James, when we look at 2011, and there were a lot of things that happened in that particular season, more importantly with the Nuggets and Carmelo Anthony and him wanting to be traded.
Yep.
When I talk to a lot of people here in Denver, there are a lot of people that still feel or have ill will towards Carmelo Anthony. Is that fair, and how did that trade change the trajectory of the Nuggets?
I don't think it's really fair. Look, Melo, and it's been portrayed of, hey, he wanted to leave town because he wanted to build his brand, and Lala wanted to live in a big city, and he got, you know, he got married in 2010, and that's why he just thought Denver wasn't good enough for him. I think that was a part of it. I think all those things were a factor, but I also think he was, you know, sort of undecided and unmoved by the Nuggets' commitment. And I think that's a very fair thing. I mean, I think you can look at all those franchises that are owned by Stan Kroenke and say, hey, is winning the number one goal or is making money the number one goal? You can do both. I have no problem with a professional sports team making money. They should. But are you doing everything you can to win? And I think that was part of Melo's equation. Now, he went to the Knicks, who haven't won squat in two decades and haven't won a championship since I've been alive. So that's not exactly, you know, putting yourself in a position to win.
Right.
But I think it's unfair. The other part of it is, and, as I was writing this, and that was only the second biggest story of the year, was Melo getting traded, which is crazy.
Right.
But he was here. He played 50 games before he got traded. He averaged 25.2 points, 7.6 rebounds in those 50 games. In his last game as a Nugget, right before the All-Star break, he got traded in the All-Star break. He led him to a road win against Milwaukee. He had 38-12. Like, it's not like this guy was dogging it. It's not like he just, you know, did the decision and left and the team got nothing. Like, he told him he was going to leave. He played hard and worked hard while he was still here. They were able to get a lot of players in return, set them up 2 years later where they had 57 wins, the most in franchise history. So I think it's a little unfair. Plus, the Melo era and all the Doug Moe, 80s, where the great era apologists can spare me, the Melo era was the best era in Nuggets history, and it ain't even close. Like, more 50-win seasons. It just, you know, consecutive playoff appearances, division titles. It's just... You know, people tend to look at things through nostalgia-colored glasses. The Melo era, those 8 years when he got him to the playoffs every single year, and he came into a team that was 17-65 the year before he got here, they were special. He made him relevant. He got him on ESPN and TNT, and, man, as someone who had to go cover those games and go down for an 8:30 tip-off, which is really more like 8:55, it got to be a little bit annoying, but that meant you were on national TV and it meant people were paying attention. So, you know, you never walked around in the 80s and saw people in New York City walking around in Alex English shirts. You saw our jerseys. You saw them walking around in Melo Nuggets jerseys. So by far the best era in Nuggets history. And, yeah, it's a very long-winded answer, Nick, for, yeah, it's unfair.
Dropping the mic. That's James Merrill at 1043thefan.com, and it is Timeline 25. Make sure you check it out as James goes down the top sports stories each year over the last 25 years, the length of that we've been on there with The Fan. Now, Tebow time.
Yep.
Doesn't seem like that long ago. Let's get into it. And one thing that I mistook at the time and has become very, very obvious afterwards, Mike McCoy didn't have anything to do with this. In fact, he fought it. I'll clean it up for radio, but John Fox told him, blank off, and we're putting the kid in.
Right.
So this was Foxy's direction, and John Fox also told my friend Russ Landy when they were with the Rams, okay, and he was like with the Rams for like 6 months. But he said, someday I'm going to be a head coach. I'm going to hire Tom Osborne. I'm going to run the blank and wishbone. Foxy loved to cuss and tell great stories, by the way, standing around telling Dick Cheney jokes all the time. But yep. What do you remember? What did your Timeline 25 reveal again? Maybe that we had even forgotten about Tebow time.
Well, and I remember being on the air at the time, and I was so frustrated week after week after week because we kept hearing that Kyle Orton gives him the best chance to win. I made it BC2W, best chance to win. and it was like, best chance to win what? They went 2-8 at the end of McDaniel's first year, 4-12 the next year, and then started off 1-4. They were 7-24 in 31 games. That's almost two full seasons. They won seven games. It's like, what are we doing here? The year before, my entire family, so brother and his family, mom and dad, me and my family, 13 people went down to Arizona to watch him play the Cardinals, and they're getting beat. That was the game where Jay Feely outscored him, right? Like, even the CBS guys were making fun of him, and they refused to put in Tebow. Like, what are we doing? That's the number one thing I remember, Cecil, was how frustrating it was early in that year because he played the last couple games of 2010. Beat Houston, almost let him do a comeback win against San Diego. Like, okay, this is the future. And then they start right back off with Orton again. So that was the first part, being frustrated. Then the second part was they got blown out in his second start against Detroit, 45-10 at home, and it was a rout. He was overmatched. He threw a 100-yard pick six. Like, it looked like a disaster. And they changed the offense on the fly. They didn't have a bye week between that game and being in Oakland. But all of a sudden they get to Oakland and they're running, his college offense. They're running stuff that you see a lot in the NFL now, but hardly ever saw back then. You'd see an occasional wildcat play, but you wouldn't see it, for an entire game. And man, they just took off. They won six straight. They were the talk of the town, talk of the country. you would turn on ESPN and every story on the left-hand side on their rundown, every story was Tebow. It wasn't a couple Tebows and then LeBron. It was just Tebow, 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 Tebow. It was all it was. It was a supernova. It was short-lived. It wasn't going to last. But, man, for that stretch, and it had been such a bad couple of years of just boring Broncos football, it just brought it all back. And I really do think since they moved into the new stadium, the Mile High Magic had kind of died. It had kind of gone away. Broncomania wasn't dead, but it was waning as well. And Tim Tebow brought it all back. And that game, that playoff game against Pittsburgh, the Tebow to Demaryius throw to win it in overtime. I was in the building. I was at Old Mile High for most of John Elway's great comebacks. I've heard that building really, really loud. That was the loudest I've ever heard a home Broncos stadium get. It was incredible. That brought it back. That set the stage for Manning. It kind of, you know, it brought back Broncomania. It was short-lived. It had to be short-lived. But, man, for that time, it was awesome. It was just fun to witness it every week and go, what's going to happen? Because something's going to be crazy. And sure enough, almost every single Sunday, something crazy happened.
James, so Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond decides, hey, listen, I'm going to opt out of the 2020 season. Right, and I know that a lot of players are trying to come to grips with how they're going to handle their profession and their family. But when you heard this, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, in all honesty, it was a baseball thought. It was, well, that ain't going to hurt. I mean, that was my initial thought because he's been so disappointing. So, and then I took the time and I read all of his posts. I reread them today, he tells some very revealing stories, the stories about his high school teammates and what they would chant before games is just one of those things that just, you know, it makes your stomach turn. I think he has some great points to make. I think it was very interesting what he had to say about MLB clubhouses, what he had to say about managers. I don't agree with everything he said in terms of, why maybe there's such a low percentage of black players in Major League Baseball now compared to 30 years ago, because it's decreasing. And I know Major League Baseball's, you know, really put in some programs to try and get baseball back into like inner cities and stuff like that. But it's obviously not working. So I think he makes a good point about that, of whatever we're trying to get kids involved with the game isn't working. But, I totally respect his decision and, you know, taking that risk and with his family. And I think his wife is pregnant and all sorts of stuff. Like, hey, I get it. He's made all the money he's going to need. So why do it? But I think it was a great addition to the conversation. And I think that's kind of the most important part. And the part of this that everybody needs to kind of remember and, you know, keep in mind is, you know, it's just about hearing things, having a conversation. Sometimes you sit there and go, I don't get this and I don't understand this part. And what's he trying to say? And, you know, I think we're always so afraid to say the wrong thing that sometimes we don't have the conversation. And I think that his series of posts on Instagram were a great conversation starter. And I don't mean that in a casual, hey, we're at dinner having a couple of pops. I mean, sitting down and really talking about stuff and trying to come up with some solutions. And I think that part of it was fantastic.
He's James Merrillat, 1043thefan.com. Make sure to sign up for our Denver Sports Daily every morning. Right to your inbox, hot and fresh. Top Denver sports stories right there. It's the Denver Sports Daily. It's free. Sign up for it at 1043thefan.com. James, be good, brother, and I'll talk to you after my vacation.
Sounds good. It'll be like football time by then, man. That'll be
exactly.
Great.
Yeah. What do we call July? Vacation time.
Exactly. Enjoy it, man.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.